and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a 4-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Coaching Club American Oaks Day. Also Haskell down in Monmouth. They have a great card today, but obviously a great card up here at Saratoga as well with the Caress, the Coaching Club American Oaks. We'll talk a little bit about all of that in just a few minutes as the show gets underway. And a little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Frank Miramati. He's got a few days under his belt now as the permanent announcer up here at Saratoga. We'll get some thoughts on that and more with our friend Frank Miramati. A little bit later on, Rudy Rodriguez will join us. We'll talk about some of his runners over the last few days and going forward as well. He had a nice winner on Thursday, Antonio of Venice. So we'll hit on that, and as they say, look forward to some of his runners as well. But top of the show, happy to be joined by our friend Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette. Daily Gazette doing a nice job covering Saratoga as they have in years past, and wanted to get Mike in to talk about his thoughts on the first few days and going forward as well. Mike, good morning.
Thanks for having me, Seth. We got another beautiful, breezy morning this morning, so hence the paperweights. keep everything under control.
This is kind of the first windy one we've had where I had to kind of keep control. And the weather has been kind of one of the stories of the first few days, the couple of days of rain. Yesterday, though, the story of the weather was The weathermen were doing no better than the public handicappers yesterday, as the forecast was kind of foreboding. But it was a
we were
day.
Okay with that because it meant if they're wrong, we're in a good place because that meant no rain. We saw like warnings and alerts and all these things, and it never materialized. I guess they pulled the tarps out at Joe Bruno Stadium for the Tri-City Valley Cats game early on, but we missed it this time.
Again, a gorgeous day, and it looks like more of the same today and forecast for tomorrow as well. But again, I guess we have to knock wood with the forecast.
It's Saratoga.
What happened? Yeah.
Wait 15 minutes. It'll change.
When you came in this morning, you were with Mike Kane and Tim Wilkin, and you guys this morning, the press was out a little bit early because Forte was working. Give us a little report on what he looked like.
Yeah, it was one stop, but it was very productive. When he went by me, and I was getting that little clocker tower out over by the quarter pole there on the turn. He was in company with Emmanuel. Irad Ortiz was on Forte. He didn't look like they were going that fast, and in fact, they weren't. Interesting thing, so I checked with the clockers, and they had them in 50 flat. They were just trying to do a maintenance, last workout before the big one next week. And it was interesting because for the first time ever, Todd Pletcher breezed him with blinkers on. And the reason being, he said he thought he lost a little bit of focus on the turn in the Florida Derby. You can go all the way back to that. But also, he said it might have maybe cost him the Belmont, too. So they tried a very small, it's called a fringe blinker, and it even has holes in it. So it's about the bare minimum blinker that you can possibly put on him. So they wanted to try it based on those last two races, and it kind of sounds like he's going to use that in the Jim Dandy, but it's not a real prominent blinker. It's just this little thing just to get that little extra edge that they thought they might have been missing in the Florida Derby in the Belmont.
And his game plan, obviously, is to have that Jim Dandy the prep up here.
Correct.
For the Traverse.
Yep.
A little bit later on. And you know, when you sat down, I said we'll hit on a little bit, just I wanted to talk about it. Speaking of the three-year-old and three-year-old scene, and I will repeat again, I've been saying it for 3 months now, this three-year-old picture is so up in the air. Hopefully today, Jim Dandy Traverse Pennsylvania Derby sorts things out And I wanted to hit on a little bit of the Haskell this afternoon because we have Mage in there. I'm surprised Arabian Night is the morning line favorite. off a last start in the Southwest in January. I mean, I guess Bob Baffert.
I get it, the Baffert angle. The horse is really good, but, and he's not a big favorite, obviously. You got 2 3-to-1s in there with Tapitrice and Mage. But, that really surprised me, especially the layoff, January 28th. Yeah. That seemed unusual to me, and maybe we'll see what the betting – how that plays out. People are going to hammer Baffert and the Haskell anyway. Yeah. But it just seems like, A, the layoff, B, lightly raced, and there's other ones in here that are, on equal footing, you would think. So, yeah, that kind of surprised me a little bit. But this is fun because having the three-year-olds be this muddled at this point, that means these races, Travers, you already mentioned Pennsylvania Derby, those races are going to carry a lot of weight and really be kind of a pivot point for what happens for the Eclipse Award.
Yeah, and I said that also. I've been saying that it's up in the air, but that's going to make the summer a lot of fun, particularly the 2 3-year-old races up here. But today kind of kicks off that situation. And if folks are looking for some of the jockeys this afternoon, they're typically up here. Rosario is down at Monmouth, Castellano on Mage. Tyler Gaffleone is down on Extra Anejo. John Velasquez is on Arabian Night. Mike Smith from the West Coast is in on Go Ride Go for Richard Mandela. Brad Cox says salute to stars. It's fun. And again, I think Mage or Arabian Night, Tapit Trice, they kind of put themselves firmly into the picture and maybe help define things. If you get a win by somebody like Go Rocket Ride or Extra Anejo, that just continues the pattern we've had of putting things up in the air.
I'm going to lean on my Derby and Belmont pick, Tapit Trice. He's going to win one of these days, you would think. Before I forget, when you mentioned the jockeys, so we just said hi to Irad Ortiz after the Forte workout this morning and asked him how Jose was doing. He said he's fine. He's just banged up. No broken ribs or anything, it looked scary yesterday when he took that tumble. So he's okay. No timetable. I don't know when he's going to be back, but at least he's Irad said he's fine.
Yeah, so it's great to know. The horse seemed okay and was up and walking. And Jose walked into the ambulance but was kind of holding.
And he was kind of ginger and slow, but it was just great to see him get up and doing it on his own.
After that, because that was very scary. Speaking of the three-year-olds and the Travers and whatnot, let's go back to yesterday because probably have one to watch going forward and one that probably is not going to show up in the Travers. And let's take a look. We do have the stretch run here, as I will save my papers from blowing away.
Right.
But in the curling yesterday, and again, this is kind of a fun stake on the schedule every year, restricted to 3-year-olds that have not won a sweepstakes this year. But Blazing Sevens coming out of the Preakness second was the 3-to-5 favorite. I went with Scotland on top. I thought an up-and-comer from Bill Mott, and that is Scotland, the number 4 horse, winning pretty nicely at just over 3 lengths. Il Miracolo runs second at 15-to-1, and a disappointment from Blazing Sevens running third in here. But again, you would have to think Scotland now is in serious consideration for the Travers.
He really is, and I picked Blazing Sevens in the paper. I do like just the feature race every day, just kind of a fun thing. But in the meantime, when I saw Scotland in the paddock, he looked like $1 million, and I said to Tim Wilkin right before the race, man, I like Mott a little bit here. And if you look at his form, he had a nice buyer progression, and his numbers really fit in with anybody else who was in there. So it wasn't really a huge surprise when he ran well. The surprise was Blazing Sevens not running well, and Chad Brown clearly disappointed afterwards because that was kind of like his – I mean, unless he's got hiding something in his barn, that was going to be his Travers horse, and he was really disappointed. He might have been a little mad at Flavien Prat for, what happened on the first turn. He said the trip was brutal and it gutted him, and he just didn't have anything in the stretch, as you could see. Surprisingly, 3-to-5 shot really was never a threat. So.
Yeah, from the far turn home, we were not thinking he was going to make any magic happen, certainly.
No.
You guys in the Gazette, I had Teresa Gennaro in the other day and just touted a little bit the Gazette coverage because Teresa's writing some pieces. Will Springstead, part of the team as well. You're up here most every day. Just update us on what folks can look for in the Gazette.
Well, I was just texting with Will Springstead like 10 minutes ago, and he's up there talking to Brian Affronti from Equibase, the chart caller. And I actually texted him back, and I said, this is perfect timing because those guys were in a little bit of pickle yesterday trying to chart that race where Jose fell off the horse because there was some debate of whether he was in the saddle and the horse was still carrying weight and whether that should count, he should count as a as an official finisher. So those the timing is great to talk to those guys because I'm sure they got some it's a perfect example of how tough their job is and how what sort of weird, unexpected things can happen and how they have to sort of, like, you know, be quick on their feet when something crazy like that happens. So Will's doing that. He already had the Q&A with Frank Miramati last week. Teresa is actually doing two things a week for us this year as opposed to one last year. So it's a big relief for me. I mean, they to have them supplementing our coverage, and they produce great stuff. They're both terrific writers. So happy to have them contributing as much as they are, for sure.
There's also some handicapping every day as well. Our friend Gene Kirshner, Jeff Carl as well. So folks can look for that. And you're up here, as they say, most every day covering the races as well. So I wanted some thoughts on what we've seen so far, certainly on the stakes action. We'll watch the stretch run to the Kelso last week. I thought Casa Creed, a really nice story. Lee Einsiedler, easy to root for. But Casa Creed is 7. Hadn't won in a couple of starts so far this year. Was he the same Casa Creed? Yes. The answer. So this was one of the highlights. And the 2 2-year-old stakes with the upsetters, Yo-Yo Candy and Becky's Joker, added to a fun, you know, first, what, 6-7 days of the meet so far.
It really did. And let's hit on Lee Einsiedler first. You know, all I did was stand on the crease and tap the goal in. You get the assist for that one because you happen to be walking behind Lee on his way into the paddock when he
with his two
encountered those two guys right there who are outstanding people. Mike Miller in the beautiful shirt on the left and Mike Rulo in the blue shirt on the right, and that's Lee in the middle, of course. New best buddies because as he's walking in and you happen to be walking behind him, he sees these guys trying to figure out how to cap the Kelso, and they're going nowhere with their analysis. So he just stops and said, you guys stop handicapping right now. Here's $100 for you. Here's $100 for you. Bet Casa Creed. He's my horse. Your work is done here. And they're like, we can't take your money. And he was like, nope. You got to do it. $100 to win on Casa Creed. So of course the horse wins. And so then you and I are walking down the stairs and you're telling me that you had witnessed this whole encounter. I said, you know, our usual drill after a race is to go straight into the winner's circle, get Mott, get, you know, maybe the jockey, you know, that's the drill. But this time I was like, is that the guy right there? And you said, yep, that's him. I said, I'm talking to these guys.
You picked him out of there. They're standing outside the winner's circle.
It wasn't difficult.
Those happen to be the guys. I turned around, yes, those are the guys. Easy to pick
out. It wasn't difficult to pick them out, but I needed confirmation from you because you actually saw it. And then I just talked to those guys and saved it for a Sunday for Monday column, and it wound up just being a great story. Yeah. These guys have been coming up here for 40 years. It's just this quintessential Saratoga story that was one of the things that makes it, you know, gives it its identity and makes it different from every other track. So that's just, I was just like, I know what my assignment is here. I'm not talking to Bill Mott. I'm talking to these guys. They were great.
It was funny because I was in the winner's circle. I'm listening to the trainer and whatnot, and I'm looking over, and you're usually right there with the thing, but you were getting the full scoop.
I was like,
there.
I'll get a Bill Mott quote off the Naira notes this time.
And then again, it was on the front page a couple of days later.
Right.
I read
that. That's awesome.
You know, I was talking with those guys after the race. They were ecstatic there. And again, it just becomes kind of a classic Saratoga story as well.
Yep.
And easy to root for Lee, certainly. Let's get some thoughts on the action today and tomorrow, because we have two really good female races coming up today and tomorrow. I you know, mentioned the 3-year-old male scene, which is kind of up in the air. I said earlier on the handicapping show, I think the 3-year-old female is a little more defined, with Pretty Mischievous kind of being at the head of the class. She's not in today, but the Coaching Club American Oaks, I think, is kind of a fascinating scenario with Wet Paint trying to rebound a little bit, having been the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks and running fourth, ran second to Who's Your Filly in the Monomoy Girl, but was up against it pace-wise. But off the second in the Kentucky Oaks, Gambling Girl is intriguing. And we'll look for a rebound off the Kentucky Oaks also from South Lawn. What did you take, and what was your take on the Coaching Club American Oaks?
I picked
Oaks.
Gambling Girl. I mean, she's been knocking on the door. Todd Pletcher said the distance should be perfect for her. So I picked her, but this race is really, really interesting,
and it's
180 degree opposite of what the Shoe V is shaping up, which is essentially a match race between Nasty and Clairiere. So I settled on Gambling Girl. I just think she's kind of due. She's shown ability as a New York bred to hang with opening companies. So, but it's a tough puzzle. And, you know, South Lawn is kind of interesting if you throw out the Kentucky Oaks. Wet Paint was one that I was kind of interested in, like, back in the spring. And she's been a little disappointing in her last two. But, you know, she didn't miss by much. But Hoosier Philly is in this field. So, you know, if you go by recency form, you know, you got to lean toward Hoosier Philly just off the last one. You know, of course, Monomoy Girl was only a mile, so they're getting an extra furlong today. Maybe that fits into Wet Paint's profile a little bit. But I'd settle on Gambling Girl. And she's an interesting story, too, because she was bred at Gallagher Stud over in Columbia County. And Teresa, we already mentioned Teresa Gennaro. She had written a story about the farm, and I've written about those people, too. You know, kind of cool that we have this breeding farm right here. And they always bring, you know, live horses over here. That, you know, they'll usually sneak one in. But the Gambling Girl is, like, the best horse they've had in a long time. So, kind of, you know, if my local bias comes into effect at all, then that would be it. So,
yeah, Gambling Girl.
But I like her just on her form and her potential, too.
Yeah, the close-up near Miss Second in the Kentucky Oaks, I think, is going to attract a lot of attention today.
Yeah.
But, again, there's back class. It's a very intriguing addition to the Coaching Club American Oaks.
Yep.
And you alluded to it earlier. Tomorrow, I've been looking forward to this race ever since, you know, going back a month or so. They kind of made clear what the plans would be. You know, you always hope for maybe a couple of more horses in the field, but it's four. But you're, as you say, could wind up being a match race. We'll get what we ask for. I've liked Clairiere all year long. I thought she was up against it pace-wise in the Apple Blossom. She had to work quite a bit in the Ogden Phipps, but gets it done in both of those. She is just super talented. $3 million earner for Asmussen and Stone Street. But Nest, champion, making the seasonal comeback, seasonal debut here in July. We'll see what Ness does. Four-horse field, but an intriguing addition to the Shoe V tomorrow.
I think people are going to hammer Ness based on her Coaching Club American Oaks in Alabama last year, so she obviously loves Saratoga. But if you go back to the personal Ensign last year, I'm going to throw that out. If you recall, she finished fifth to Malathot, Clairiere, I mean. And I mean, if you go by Saratoga form, I'm willing to throw the personal Ensign out because she went kind of nuts in the gate and actually
she
banged her mouth or so it was either her lip or she bit her tongue or something. She was bleeding from her mouth and it wasn't, you know, pulmonary bleeding. It was.
Oh, you're right. That's
she smacked her mouth and you know, probably took the starch out of her and took her out of the mood to show her best form. So I'm drawing a line through the personal Ensign if you're examining you know, form at Saratoga. But I think Clairiere, she's so clearly the best of the division right now. Nest off the layoff, we don't know what we're going to get out of her. She hasn't run since the Breeders' Cup in November. But this is one of those ones where I'm more interested in watching it just to see how the matchup plays out. I mean, I'm not going to bet a dime on this race. You know, it's not a very good betting proposition, but it's a very good kind of spectator, horse racing fan opportunity. So I'm going to sort of approach it that way.
And I say it all the time here. We come up here, we handicap, we gamble. That's what it's all about. But, you know, you're in the same boat being a writer on a daily basis and here doing TV. The stories also attract my attention. I think Clairiere and Nest tomorrow. Yeah, it may not be a race that you're going to jump in with gusto on the betting
not
side.
Not betting both
things,
fists on this
but
one.
It's going to be fun to watch. And you're going to come away with, you know, a memory of at Saratoga, no matter what, because if one of them doesn't win, then you get the memory of,
I really got a story.
Mike, appreciate the visit. As always, again, tell people to pick up a Gazette around town or whatnot for some great Saratoga coverage, and we'll talk again.
Thanks so much, Seth. We'll see you.
Are you going to throw in? I thought you were going to throw in maybe a Desperate Annie's.
I dropped the ball. Okay. See you at Desperate Annie's sooner than later.
I thought that's where you were.
Man, that's my job. I blew it.
All right. We'll take a break when we come back. He's here. Frank Miramonte will get his thoughts on the first few days as the permanent announcer up here at Saratoga and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
And they're off at Saratoga, and virtual reality gets the first call of the meet and shows the way into the first turn, flashing sharp early foot. Bustin' Bay comes away in second. Honey Money is in third, and then it's Ocean Gateway fourth. Four length.
There it was, July 13th, opening day, opening race. Traditionally, they're off at Saratoga, but it was a new voice this year, and I knew I had to have Frank back here sooner rather than later, but I wanted a few days under the belt to get the feel for being the permanent race announcer. It's our longtime friend, Frank Miramonte. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Seth.
Happy to have you in here and talk a little bit about that. It is a tradition starting. It's a great idea, great tradition, starting the race day right in front of the fans and getting the fans involved with the race call. Talk a little bit about race one up here at Saratoga this season.
Big tradition, and I'm happy to have carried it on. And Eric Donovan, the head of our TV department, came to me before, and we talked about that moment because I hadn't been here, obviously, for that moment. But I know it's a big deal, and he used a great line. He said, just tell him, you know the drill, and I like that. And I used those exact words, so I told that to the fans, and you know, with our shows being on Fox, they threw it over to me. Lafitte was the host at the time, and it was just one of those great moments and one to absorb. Camera in the booth, the whole thing, and just, you know, those are the moments you have to not only embrace, but just try to take a snapshot of it, a Kodak moment, if you will, for that situation, because it meant an enormous amount to me. And, of course, it's a tradition here at Saratoga for everyone to be here, and it's kind of a big get-together. It's, you know, there's so many people that have certain weekends planned out to come, and a lot of my friends and people I haven't seen in the longest time. It's been overwhelming.
I will convey to you what, obviously, being here every day, the front side is a lot of my
audience. House,
and so, yeah, when I walk over there, I get recognized a lot walking around. But I have heard from people in the backyard, in the clubhouse, in the grandstand as I've walked around. People are really having a fun time. They appreciate your work.
I appreciate them. I've had a great response from the fans. Thank you all so much. I'm trying my best, and this is, you know, this is a big job, obviously, and it's kind of a meat grinder. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's kind of like a towel, but you get some sleep, wake up, and I couldn't be more excited and refreshed to be here today. So it's good. It's fulfilling. It's a tired Seth that is a very, very one that I'm just very grateful for. You know what I mean? It's like you work hard, but I mean, you know, toward the end of the day, I got to go to the whip because you can't mail it in at the spot.
Yeah, no question about it. And I was thinking as I was driving in today, because, you know, as I say, I've known you for a long time, and I used to link to some of those calls back in the day, the impression calls and whatnot, which if people haven't seen, pull them up on YouTube. They're a lot of fun. But I know from talking to you and reading bio things over the years, you're track was always Santa Anita, and you're out there now. And You had been doing the Santa Anita to Monmouth, but now pulled in at Saratoga. And I started thinking, you know, a lot of people will jokingly say, hey, how you doing today? Well, living the dream. But for you, I'm thinking, you're probably living the dream.
I mean, you can't think of a better there is no better scenario than what this is. I'm very grateful to the management at Santa Anita for allowing me to work here during the summertime. You know, Santa Anita, I've always said it, and I always will. It's not only my favorite racetrack, it's my favorite place on the planet Earth. I grew up in Southern California, and you know, the trips to Santa Anita and Hollywood Park were how I, you know, became a lover of this game. But to come to Saratoga is an opportunity that I'm just, look, they can only pick one person to be the track announcer. I have been dreaming of jobs before that I didn't get. I dreamt of the Santa Anita job, and I didn't get it the first time around. So you have to embrace these moments and just, you know, give it everything you have. And I'm proud that I could say that I've done that wherever I've been, whether it's the Northern California Fair Circuit or whether it's right here at Saratoga. My heart and soul has always been in this because I grew up with not many interests. This is what I love. I love horse racing, and I just want to convey that to the fans, and I want to celebrate the winners. That's my number one statement as far as what a track announcer's job is. We celebrate the sport. We celebrate the winners. And my first job that I got was at Hialeah Park. And Mr. Brunetti, may he rest in peace, said to me, I like you because I want you to call the way you're doing, which is with enthusiasm and no bias. And that's the key, is to just, as Trevor Demon, my idol, said to me, open your eyes and tell the fans what you see. And with the storied list of track announcers here at Saratoga over the years, you know, you come into a new situation, there's no question I'm wearing the road jersey over here, so I got to just, you know, be accurate first. And be precise, and that's my goal every race. Believe me, if there's a mistake here and there, and every track announcer makes mistakes, but it's live coverage. You just got to turn the page and keep the blinkers on and keep rolling.
Yeah, and again, you're doing a great job. And
thank you.
Again, getting
it.
The feedback I've gotten from some of the fans, you're making nice. You're catching some nice things and making comments that are helping people kind of follow the race and maybe get a little more enthusiastic about that horse making a little bit of a move or whatnot. Talk a little bit about, as an announcer, what kind of study you have to do before the race.
I actually have done it the same way throughout my career. I don't spend a whole lot of time before the day over here and obviously in Santa Anita. There are a lot of new names, excuse me, there, you know, so I want to make sure I pronounce the names correctly. I've been on the phone with some trainers, ask them, you know, what's this, what's that, look it up, you know, get with my colleagues on the shows, Lafitte and Greg, the two hosts, to talk to them to make sure we're all on the same page. And then from time to time, an owner may go up to one of the people and say, hey, this is what my horse is named. The other day, Mrs. Reeves came up to tell me about one of her names, which, believe me, I appreciate that. I much prefer to hear it right before the race than 10 seconds after it. But the goal is to get the name straight and to look at the race. In the case of the first several days, I usually don't handicap the races, but we have a new content person that's coming in, and they asked me to fill in for them at the Gazette to do my selections for the first 7 days of the meet, or 8 days. Today's the last one, and I did all those. So I looked in advance, but normally, like if you ask me who's running tomorrow, I heard you on the previous segment. I said, oh, okay, that's going to be a great race. But I just try to keep it a day at a time and go after it. Then when the horses come out on the track, I do the traditional coloring of the silks with crayons. And the reason I do that, when we were young, Seth, we learned by writing things down. It helped you memorize. And so actually the physical act of coloring the book is something that's very important because it immediately gives you, like, if you start asking me some horses from yesterday, chances are I'll be able to tell you what their silks are if it was like a pop quiz. And the third race, we have the deal for the best backstretch, raising money for them. And so we have visitors, and I try to show them the process. And that's a lot of fun, too. And certainly, if you've ever wanted to go up to an announcer's booth, I would recommend that because you're donating $100, but it's to a great cause.
Yeah.
You're helping people on the backstretch. And if you go to their website, you'll see that it's well worth it. And the fans have just had an overwhelming response to that. And I enjoy interacting with the people. I love fans. Last night, I was at the Holiday Inn. After the races, my girlfriend Jennifer loves their roast beef sandwich, and so I said, let's go, and we went there, watched a couple of races from Del Mar, and it was just all racing fans, and it just turned into a big social event, and that's what Saratoga is all about.
That's the beauty of it. I'm glad you brought up the best, because I had that written down. It is a great, anything that benefits the backstretch workers who put so much into the game back here is so important to it. But that's the third race every day?
Third race every day, and they asked me at the beginning of the meet, do I want to block out any of the dates? Absolutely not. So every day is available, and I encourage you to come up. It's a lot of fun, and again, most importantly, you're giving the money to helping the backstretch people. And look, those people really deserve it. You know, like, they're, it's a big... it's a big statement around here at Saratoga. I know that that's something that's very important to everyone, but you can't, it's not just words. These people are working hard, and some of them face a lot of challenges, and this is your opportunity to donate, have a good time, see a race from a different vantage point. I still remember the first time I went to an announcer's booth in 1990 at Del Mar to meet Trevor Denman, and I remember right before I started at Hialeah, when my first job in 96, and before that, they ran the meet at Gulfstream. So at Gulfstream, Tom Durkin, the legend himself, was the track announcer. I went in the booth with him. I wanted to meet him, and obviously I knew everything about him and had listened to his great calls. But you talk about being intimidated. I walk in and meet Dirk, and he has a laptop computer. He starts explaining to me how he prepares for a race. He did a quick magic marker thing, and he had his binoculars and the whole brigade, fancy binoculars. And I'm watching him, and he explained to me that he had looked at how the race was going to unfold. There was a 3-5 favorite in the race. This is almost like you couldn't even make this story up. So he explains to me as he's showing me the computer how the race will unfold, that this is a big favorite here. However, there's some horse in here that could compromise the horse, and this one other here will become the danger. I sit, I watch the race. The thing unfolds exactly like it's one of those deals like you walk in and the guy hits it right out of the park, and then he's like, good luck, kid. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm dead. So, I mean, it's like then I'm going into Hialeah. I mean, I was drenched. Just going in there because I was completely out of my league at that time, obviously, to get into a track like Hialeah, low to the ground like the booth is here, and no experience. I was facing a tall order, but that was like, actually, you couldn't have made that up, that visit with Tom, but it was a great moment and something I still remember. So if you get a chance to come up to the booth, I'd love to meet you.
Talk a little bit about Hialeah, because I had that written down, too. Yeah. I never made it over there. Talk a little bit about the track, man, and the experience.
You missed a great place. Our business card said the world's most beautiful race course. It was spectacular. It was immaculate. It was just, you know, you walked in. Every day we did the TV show. So starting my second season, I hosted the nightly replay show. And on that show, we would pick a different spot each day to open the show with the beautiful background. This fountain in front of the turf course. I mean, that huge turf course. The beautiful main track. Yeah. I had a chance to call some great horses, including Nick Zito's Albert the Great ran there and marched home in the Widener. There were memories there that I'll never forget. I got to call a tough name, Flat Fleet Feet, which I still remember many years ago.
Was it Caesar Kimmel?
Yes,
who was known to.
Nice. He did that to me. Yeah. Thank you, Caesar, and John Kimmel, of course. And it was great. I remember that because I was so deliberate, not wanting to blow that name. Flat Fleet Feet. Say that 10 times. Yeah. Let me know how it goes. But there were great memories at Hialeah Park, and some of those great turf horses like Yagley would come through there, and so many others, Flag Down, just names that you just think about. But Hialeah Park was an extraordinary experience. It was my first 6 years, my first job, and it was very sad when they closed. And now they have a beautiful casino down there, and the property, from what I understand, is still beautiful. And the Flight of the Flamingo.
Yeah.
That was the greatest thing. There was a guy in a little rowboat. He would go out there, and they'd play the music, and he'd kind of scare the flamingos up into the air, and they'd fly up in the air, and they were just well-trained. And I know at one time Mr. Brunetti sat on the board at Hollywood Park, and he donated some flamingos to Hollywood Park as well. So those are two tracks that we certainly miss now later in life. And so you got to cherish all the moments at these beautiful facilities.
And I do have to just get over just to experience it, because everybody
it's
says
still,
the facility.
It's still there, man.
Yeah, I got
it. It's great.
And also just reading some bio information yesterday, I found it interesting that your first visit to Saratoga was with the Hialeah crew, who would, what, annually make a visit to Great Barrington?
Yeah, well, in 97, so I started in 96, and in 97, the racing secretary, the late, great Sam Abbey, who was a wild man in his time, he had a lot of fun, that's for sure. He brought his team. He was very loyal to his team, and so the stewards from Hialeah came. Jack Gaver, who was a classic individual, from the Green Tree, hailing from the Green Tree family, and that whole group, all the racing officials, my good buddy Denver Beckner, who's now a steward, he was in that group. Patrick Mackey, whose dad, Mike Mackey, was the general manager at Hialeah at the time. And so there were just a lot of friends, a lot of fun. We stayed in a motel that it was like basically three-fourths of a rectangle. It was kind of like a summer camp.
Yeah.
With the boys and the girls. And so we all had rooms, but we were all together. And it was a lot of fun, and the place was wild. I called a race in the stands. It was in the Berkshires. I got out there, and the funny thing is, I just got interviewed this week by the Berkshire Eagle, and I was talking to them, the gentleman, and I said to him, I go, they did a picture, they did a story on me, and I was on the front page of the Berkshire Eagle, and it was young in my career. I got like this many copies. I laughed the other day when I was going through my storage. I was so excited. I wanted to send it to them. I have so many copies. I wish I had brought one here to send to him.
That's great.
From back then. So it was 97 and 98, and Sam lent me his truck, and I drove out to Saratoga a couple times. In fact, one day, the great Larry Letterman, who was, clearly the most entertaining announcer I've ever heard. He invented the, having fun in a race call deal. And he and I, he had me as a guest at the Daily Racing Forum seminar at Ciro's. And we did the impressions. We were going back and forth with different impressions. We got a standing ovation. It was just a great, great moment. It's something I'll always cherish and remember. And it gave me my first chance to come to Saratoga. And as I said in one of those stories, it's not like I came in here saying, gee, I'd love to call the races here one day. I just thought, like, wow, look at this place. I mean, as soon as you walked in, before you get to the track, it's that long walk to the racetrack, but looking around and all the vendors and just the history and the picnic, like, you could feel like you were in a place that was incredible. And so today, when I walk into work every day, it's that same feeling. It's a feeling saying, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity and this blessing. And, my job is to just give you everything I have every minute of every day. And it's a busy day here. There's this announcement, that announcement, people coming up. But look, it's all about coming through, and this is a privilege. I realize that. And it's just a great opportunity. I'm just so happy about it.
Yeah, and again, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So I think we all appreciate it. And you talked about doing a little handicap,
yes,
too.
Sir.
So when you sat down, I said, hey, let's take a look at the Coaching Club American Oaks and get some thoughts there. And also maybe a thought or two on the Haskell. Because, again, you had been the regular announcer down at Monmouth for a number of summers. But
great place. They treated me unbelievably well. Doctor there saved my life. So believe me when I tell you, Monmouth Park is very special. Happy Haskell Day to all my friends. I texted my good friends at Monmouth today.
Great card.
Incredible. It always is. And it's a very... It's a day for them to kind of showcase their product, and it's a great product indeed. The Shore's greatest stretch, Monmouth Park.
We'll hit on that in a second.
Yep.
Give us some thoughts on the coaching club. I went with Wet Paint, but I think Gambling Girl might be the one to beat.
Look, here's the thing. As a track announcer, I always try to say that, like, this assignment of trying to pick winners and then call them is something that, I'm not all overly excited about. But in this case, I did handicap the race. I did pick Wet Paint from a handicapping perspective. I've always liked her. She was soundly defeated by Hoosier Philly for my friend and colleague Tom Amos. I can't help but root for Tom to have a great race in here with Hoosier Philly. And, he took a little heat after she took a couple losses, but she proved that she's back in a big way in her last two starts. Wet Paint, a Godolphin homebred by Blame. I remember seeing Blame for the first time. It was after I was finished with my tenure at Louisiana Downs. The next year I went to cover the race and the Super Derby, and when he came out on the racetrack, Al Stahl pointed and said, look at this boy, and he's a beautiful animal. And his daughter, Wet Paint, she has a ferocious kick when she gets going. I think, as is always the case with these short fields and high-class horses, it's going to come down to how the race unfolds. Flavian Pratt's off to a great start. He's a phenomenal rider, but I'm just hoping to have an enjoyable race. This race, I would never argue with you if you pick any one of these in here.
I agree.
This is a very talented field, and may the best filly end up winning this thing. This is a race of much tradition, and I'm
Hoosier Philly and South Lawn. I think you're both left.
South Lawn's a very, very talented girl herself.
Obviously, you've got Jim Dandy and Travers coming up to call later in the meet,
yes,
on the three-year-old side, but hopefully the summer sorts things out. We have Maish in here in the Haskell. Arabian Night, I said earlier on the handicapping show, I'm surprised Arabian Night is the 5-2 morning line favorite off the layoff from the Oaklawn race. What are your thoughts on the Haskell?
I mean, I think they better have their running shoes on to beat Arabian Night. This horse is the real deal. And if you got to think about one of the things, in fact, Larry Letterman, who's a very simple handicapper, he used to tell me he doesn't even look at the racing form. And he wasn't kidding. He just looked at the trainers for trainer intent. You have a guy like Bob Baffert, who's won the Haskell so many times. He's sending this horse there without a prep. There's a reason. And so I think that horse is extremely talented. Extra Anejo, I think it's really those two. I think those two are going to put on a little show for everyone today. I pick it in that order. Arabian Night was supposed to be the absolute goods. I'm not sure why he didn't run after his first two starts yet, but the fact he shows up in this race, I got to believe he would be my pick, and Extra Anejo is the one to beat. That's the way I look
Extra
at it.
Extra Anejo winning would certainly add another wrinkle to the three-year-old scene
it
this
really
year,
would.
Which is
he's very good
up in the year. But maybe it sorts out with the Travers a little bit later on, which you will call. And, again, Frank, I could go on and on. We could talk many more. We'll leave. Why don't we leave with an impression? Why don't you give us a little Trevor?
You know, ultimately, all you guys are talking about Saratoga and you're talking about Monmouth today. But don't forget, yesterday was the opening day of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. And I can tell you this right now, at right around 5:10 Eastern, they're going to kick off the first Saturday of the meet. For Seth Merrow, I'm Trevor Denman saying thanks for being with us. And now, good afternoon to you all.
Very good. Frank, I appreciate the visit. Have a great rest of the meet.
You're the man. You've been very good to me throughout my career, and I'm loyal to you, and I'm always rooting for you, too. So.
I appreciate that. Frank Miramati, and he's in the house. Rudy Rodriguez, he'll be up next. Stay tuned as Racing Across America continues.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by Rudy Rodriguez, a longtime fixture on the New York circuit. Happy to have him back here to talk a little bit about Saratoga this year and beyond. Rudy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me. And we love Saratoga, so this is the place to be.
And I was going to start out because, a lot of times I'm in the studio down in Albany the rest of the year, and obviously we're focused on some New York racing. When you win a race, you're getting interviewed afterwards by Maggie or whoever, mm-hmm. and you seem totally enthusiastic all the time. It seems like you are one of the lucky guys who is doing something you love.
Oh, definitely. Just to be working and doing what I love is a priceless. You like I tell my son and my kids, I say, if you do something that you like, you got to be happy. And this is what I'm trying to do, just trying to enjoy every moment, I win or lose, I'm trying to be the same, when you win, it's so hard to keep inside of you, it's so hard to win, so you gotta just enjoy every moment.
Yeah, as I say, it's fun to watch you, certainly, because you seem so enthusiastic about it. Always like to get the background for people when we get trainers and owners and jockeys in here, and your career started out in the saddle, and I had the guys pull up the replay going back to the 2008 Suburban. You are on number 2 Frost Giant, a nice grade 1 win with Rudy Rodriguez in the saddle at 40-1. Talk a little bit about the riding career and this win.
That was amazing. Just 10 Rick Dutro and Andy Korn, Micah Barone to give me the opportunity to ride a horse. I know it was supposed to be a rabbit, but, sometimes the rabbit.
Oh, really? This was the rabbit?
That was supposed to be the rabbit.
Because it comes back on the rail here.
That was supposed to be the rabbit, and I was talking to Micah Barone yesterday, and we was talking about this race yesterday, believe it or not. It's amazing, when the horse come back in the rail, I still got chills. So It was amazing.
Talk a little bit about the riding career. How long did you do it, and then what was the transition? Did you just grow out of it?
I never kind of took off as a rider. I still love riding. I still breed my horses.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, I try to don't do it, but I like them, so I still enjoy them doing what I'm doing, and that's it. But you know, being a trainer is a lot of different to being a jockey. Both of the sports, they're very, very tough and very dangerous.
Yeah.
Whatever place you look at them, you know, for me, it was easy because I just love being around the horses and try to do the best I can. And I think I'm trying to do the best I can, and hopefully that's good enough.
I'm guessing that having been a jockey, you that is maybe helpful as a trainer. You can have a better rapport with the jockeys and kind of talk their language a little bit.
Definitely. You know, I was a rider, and sometimes you're trying to give a lot of instructions to the jockeys, and it's so hard because when you come out of the gate, everything changed.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from the riders. You know, sometimes you tell them, be careful warming up because it's tough for this and that, but when you're riding, you got to be very, very careful what you're doing, because it's just a split second, you can wear down, or it's so dangerous. You know, a lot of people, a lot of kids come up, oh, I want to be a jockey, I want to ride, but it's not as easy as they look.
Yeah.
You know, you can see what happened to Jose yesterday. Everything looked perfect, and a split second,
yeah,
you don't see him. So it's so dangerous. You know, thank God he's good.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned it, still get on the horses, because you still look riding fit, so you still get on the horses sometimes.
I don't know about riding fit, but it's tough. It's tough, you know. To keep the weight down is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard for every person, I guess. You know, you always say, oh, yeah, I can do it. But then, you know, you got like the last 2-3 pounds that you need to do the way, then is when the body say no more.
Yeah.
But you know, I love when I was riding, and I love training, and we just look into the best horse.
Talk about early in the career, because you're from Mexico, and I read you were working quarter horses, or were you riding in quarter horses in races?
You know, I never ride a quarter horse in Mexico. I was riding regular horses. I was working more in the farm.
Okay.
Cows, pigs. Working.
How'd you
in
get
the
into the game? Do you have family in the game?
My brother was riding in Hialeah and Calder.
Oh, okay.
My brother Jesus Rodriguez, now he's in Texas doing something else, but he's the one who picked me up from the farm. I was picking orange, cucumbers, pick orange and cucumbers, strawberries in Florida for a season.
And so you started riding down in Florida then?
No, I come with my brother to Jersey, and I was grooming horses in Mammon Park, and finish in the morning grooming the horse, and I used to go to the farm trying to learn how to ride, and little bit of everything. Working like always I do, I try to put myself occupied,
yeah,
and
yeah,
don't get myself in trouble. I think that's what it helped me to keep myself out of trouble.
So you are a New York-based guy, right? All year long, talk a little bit about, you know, the difference between up here at Saratoga and January, February down at Aqueduct, because you are a New York-based guy.
You know, yes, being in the winter all year round, you know, it's I like to be involved with the horses. So I tried to Florida, I tried Loro, I tried Mammon, but it's so hard. You travel too much.
Yeah.
You want to try to do more than you're supposed to do, and you're missing a lot of stuff. So being in New York all year round, it keeps me with my family and it keeps my business occupied, you know. Sometimes horses for the winter, we send them to Florida or they go somewhere else. But I don't like to travel too much. I like to stay pretty much. I love New York and this is where I want to be. So just trying to do the best I can over here and hope that's good enough.
Talk about where are you stabled up here?
You stay in band 34 in the Oklahoma side.
Okay.
34, 35, and 36. So we got little 3 bands a day, 10 stalls each. So we got 35 horses over here. So, and then we got another 25 back home in Belmont.
And I'm assuming back and forth?
Back
some
and
of the
forth,
horses
switching the horses back and forth, you know. We're running some horses over here, chipping back, bringing back. So I try to concentrate more, stay here in Saratoga. And hopefully that works.
Talk a little bit about Saratoga, though, because as I say, you're a New York guy, and you play the claiming game a lot, and things, I assume, get tougher up here at Saratoga.
Oh, definitely. You know, the Saratoga place is no place like Saratoga. Yeah. You know, you got people from all over the world trying to claim a horse, and it's not like in the winter you got six way check for one horse over here. You see 20, 30, and you got to be in it to win it. You know, everybody got the same opportunity to get the horses, and you just got to try to pick up the right one.
And looking at Equibase last night and races you've had so far and races coming up, you do have a lot of claiming races mixed in with the allowance races and maiden specials and whatnot. But you play the claiming game very often, play for prominent owners as well. Talk a little bit about the claiming game and how you work with your owners and how you decide who to claim. I mean, are you out there, you're looking at maybe the form and then, okay, this horse looks interesting. So before the race, you're out the paddock taking a look at the horses?
You know, most of my owners kind of, they very, very involved in the game. Michael Imperio, Vincent Scuderi, Robert Catron, you name it. I got a lot of guys that they, I don't even have to do the work. Tom LaMarca is looking at everything. Couple of the guys that they call me, I look for them. But, you know, Michael Imperio and Vinny Scuderi, Tom LaMarca, they very, very good in the game. They've been in the game before I was born, I believe. They're very good. I got a lot of notes. I look a lot of horses. We've been looking a lot, and I'm partner with them, and it's working good. But they know about numbers, regs, and they good what they do.
Yeah.
So I try to look at the horse physical, and they trust me and me and the physical prospect. Right now, we're trying to look for Rapoli. He's looking to claim horses too, but it's tough. Michael Dapp he's got so many people right now involved in the horses, so it's so hard, you know.
Yeah.
But we're looking every day. I'm looking a couple horses today, so we're gonna go and keep trying. We're dropping a couple horses. It's me, and we got one. But we keep looking.
Yeah, and then as you say, you go in the racing office and you have to keep your fingers crossed on the shake.
Yeah. You know,
see how it all works
it's out. A lot of things, because if you go to the racing office, it's like 200 people in there looking to claim.
And you've had a little success already up here at Saratoga in the meet. Always nice to get a win fairly early. I'm going to go back a couple days ago. Antonio of Venice, who had claimed what a couple days or who had scratched a couple days before that. Antonio Venice in the race we're going to look at here is going to be the number 7 horse and wins pretty nicely, over 4 lengths as the favorite. Talk a little bit about this and how good it is to kind of get that win early in the meet.
You know, the group that he involved with this horse is pretty good guys. Mike Imperio, he said we got a scratch for the New York Bread. Look like maybe we come up, the option of claiming the day race is over here for horses that you want to protect them a little bit. He showed some talents right from the get-go, you know, even in the breeze when we bought him, it looked like he was solid. And we just got lucky the draw in this race, because the other race, the other horse just a freak in the fifth race, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
We got lucky they got in this race. And, you know, I don't know if we got lucky because they was talking about Kenny Mapi horse. Unfortunately, he acted up in the gate.
Oh, late scratch, yeah.
And, you know, it's tough to see horses scratching the gate, but, you know, right now, with all the stuff going on, it's better to be cautious than be sorry. So, thank God that they scratched it, because it was the heavy favorite in that race. So you're always happy when they scratch the favorite, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and again, it's not only a nice win, but as you kind of mentioned, a New York bred. This was an open maiden special, but one of those restricted to the auction price. But there was a little extra New York bred money
there.
That's
the horses that we're looking. Being in New York, I always try to look for New York breds, even when I go to the sales. It's so hard to get the New York breds now. It's crazy. But if I can put my finger in one of them or two of them, I always try, you know. We don't got the opportunity to get the big horses, because my owners, they claiming guys, and they don't want to go with the babies. They want to see results quick, you know, and when when you got horses in the claiming game, it's a lot of easy to run the horse in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Compared to the babies, sometimes the babies get the chin, sometimes they get a little spleen, they get a little sick, and with the babies, you got to be very, very patient.
Yeah.
You know, and I give a lot of credit to the guys, they got the babies, and they spend the money in the babies, because it's so hard.
I mean, that's one of the biggest gambles in the game, yeah. Actually. You go over the auction, and you got to get the horse to the races to begin with. But the claiming game, you know what you're getting. Hopefully, you keep your fingers
sometimes,
crossed.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes yeah. you don't know what yeah. you wish for.
I wanted to bring up one that maybe looking for at the meet, I would think, because Disarmed. We're going to take a look going back to June 24th. Disarmed is going to be the winner here, the number 5 horse. And I see Disarmed has been working up here every week. Will we see Disarmed a little bit later in the meet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we're supposed to enter him in the next couple of days. He's a very, very nice, solid horse. He can run door. He can run grass. We got lucky with the horse, you know. We was the only people, you know, it's the late of the season. And we was looking for something new Llobrete to run in the winter. And we tried it the first time in the door, and he finished second. They took the race off the Tory, and he finished second. So I said, okay, now at least we got something to look forward for. And then we run him back in the door, and he finished dead last. And then we come back and run him back in the door, and he win. And we run him in the grass, and he win. So that's a plus when you got a horse that they can run both surface for sure.
Same thing with the New York Breds. If you have a talented New York Bred and you can go against Open Company and go against New York Breds, you got plenty of options. And if you have a horse that's turf or dirt, plenty
of options. Yeah, that's a plus, yeah. You know, plus the bonus. You know, we win the Star Allowance the last time. So that was, he got a little extra bonus. It's a nice little horse that he paid for himself already. So right now we just enjoying the ride.
Yeah, no, I do not blame you at all with that. And wanted some thoughts on some runners coming up today. The first race, you have number five, Back Bayou, a first-time starter. What are you thinking on Back Bayou today?
You know, it's a nice little horse. I think we're going to find out what we want to see with him to see what road to follow up. But he's been doing everything right. I would like to see a little bit more. But, you know, he's got a long stride, so we try him in the grass. I was hoping to stay in the grass, and thank God he stayed, because he looked like he can be a tall horse, but he need to step up, you know. He need to show us a little bit more to see what direction we want to go with him.
It's also, you know, a tough ask, a mile and 16th in the debut.
You know, he's been a steady worker since I got him. He's very sound. He's fit to run. We wanted to run him over there in Belmont, but we wanted to run him a little longer. So I think I don't think he's going to get tired. If he's low, that's different, but I think he's ready to run.
All right. And Connect to me is an interesting sire, win early type horses as well. Also, you have coming up Defusky Island. I like that. I want to put the horse on top off the 3 wins. That's the 10th race today, which I think is a competitive race. Chad Brown and Klarovich have a creative in here. But Defusky Island, we are going to take a look going back to June 22nd. Defusky Island is going to be the number, or it's going to be the winner here in the replay we look at. And again, this is the third in a 3-race win streak. What are you expecting this afternoon from Defusky Island?
You know, it's a nice, solid horse. As you can see, you know, he's a solid horse. You know, he kind of just surprised another New York Bred that we bought. We was hoping to win the No Winnings of One, and we accomplished that right out of the bob, and he runs so impressive, and he looked like he's improving. Hopefully he can run the same race that he run. No, we don't need nothing more than that, and I think we should be very, very competitive. Like you say, Chabran horse is the horse to be, but I think our horse is ready to run.
You mentioned you're claiming owners. This is Scuderia and Imperio, and you claim the horse 3 races back, picked the horse up for $35,000, then win a non-winners of one, and won that non-winners of two optional claim last time with a 102 buyer.
I don't know what he come out with that one. Hopefully he can run another one like that, then we'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
You know, this race coming up in the little early than we were expecting. If they don't use this race, we were going to try to put him in the stay.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, this is the same money that we're dealing with, so It was easy for us to do it, but this is no apple picking.
Yeah.
You know, this is a top solid race. Couple horses, you know, Billy Mott is an unbelievable trainer. Chad, you know, the trainers in the circus, the over here. And, you know, you got Linda Rice there. Everything is going in her way. So it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, you got Wade Lucas. He still knows how to win big races. And it's nothing not taken away from him. Got a lot of respect. Chris Englehart, you know. It's a tough race, you know.
I'm just looking here. You have a New York bred, and you mentioned the purse. Yeah. Open allowance non-winners who won. $149,500 with that New York bonus.
It's unbelievable, you know. That's what we hear, and that's the horses that we're looking for.
Yeah. And again, that's the first gallon.
You know, we got two New York breds in the race, three New York breds in the race. They looking to step up.
Yeah. I'm not surprised with almost $150,000 up for grabs and a non-winners who won. It is a different game than when I first got in.
Yeah, you know, if you got a nice New York bred, you know, this is like a stay for us right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And I think you have a nice New York, but as I said, I used the fuck guy on the top. So I am rooting for you in that one, but rooting for you for the rest of the meet as well. You got the nice winner the other day with Antonio Venice. But, Rudy, we really appreciate the visit this morning. Wish you a lot of good luck on the
rest
of the meet.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and keep it up. You guys, I follow you guys all the time.
I appreciate that.
You guys got a good show. And I can thank you enough for having me in the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Rudy Rodriguez, again, we'll be watching him through the remainder of the meet and this afternoon with some nice runners as well. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap it up for this Saturday morning. Appreciate your tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow morning, Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick. I think he's going to be back in town. 9 a.m. is the handicapper support. So great day of racing up here. It looks like it's going to be another nice day weather-wise. So head on up. Don't forget Clubhouse Racebook. We have the promotions down there, Fan Appreciation Day, East Greenbush, so keep all of that in mind. Otherwise, enjoy the races this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 for the Handicappers Award, 10 a.m. for Loose on the Lead. See you then.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off Exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.